It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verses 1 to 10. Second Corinthians chapter 5 verses 1 to 10. For we know that if the earthly tent which is our house is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight, we are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to God. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Please be seated. This perhaps would not be preached on Easter Sunday, but I believe it is so relevant. We could turn to the first book of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, and preach from there about the resurrection. But I hope you know that in the midst of all that, he speaks about resurrection in chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians. The Apostle Paul talks about our resurrection and the new resurrected bodies, resurrection bodies, that we will be gifted by God. This passage in the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 5, the passage I read, verses 1 to 10, is really talking about that resurrection body, the new body. And he speaks about being naked, being clothed, being unclothed. He talks about the tent. And he talks about the building, and we've got to make sense of all that. And it's so precious. I hope you don't get distracted by your baby or other people's babies walking around. You don't fidget, you pay attention to the Word of God. Because this passage is what you long for to happen to you sooner than later. That's what the Apostle Paul says. We would rather, he says, we prefer rather to be absent in this body, which he calls the tent, and to be present with the Lord. Look around and see the devastation of the world around you. Open your ears and hear the noise of this world. discern the cries of despair. Stand before a dearly loved one in death and sense the darkness and dread of the grave. In the midst of all the hopelessness and helplessness of human existence, looms high the cross from where our Lord Jesus Christ cries, "It is finished." Come with me to his empty grave and shout in victory. He is risen indeed. Christ's death and resurrection slams the sin, shame, brokenness, despair, grim darkness of this world. There is sunshine, a new morning. There is hope of resurrection. Our risen Lord with his Father waits with outstretched hands and bids us come, invites us into that eternal resurrection life with him forever. Will you? We will live forever there to perfectly worship, serve, and please him. Our aim, whether here on earth or there in heaven, look at this verse. How does it end? It's to please him. Before we look at this passage actually emanates from chapter 4. Paul didn't write verses and chapters bit by bit. He wrote a full letter without break. And just before he says the words I just read in the first 10 verses of chapter 5, in chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, he says something that we need to pay attention to. It says in chapter 4, verse 13 to 18, "But having the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I spoke. We also spoke, believe, and therefore we also speak, knowing that he who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sake, so that the grace which is spreading to more and more people may cause the giving of thanks to abound to the glory of God." That's part of the setting for what we're going to consider in a little bit more depth from chapter 5. We spoke and we believed. And what is happening? The grace of God is spreading to more and more people. And more people are coming to Christ. And therefore there is more giving of thanks, abounding to the glory of God. And so verse 16 of chapter 4 continues to say, "Therefore we do not lose heart." We do not lose heart. Earlier than verse 13 in chapter 4, he had talked about how the apostles and their ministry was causing them to die for the sake of the people they were ministering to. Death was working in them, the preachers, the apostles, the elders, But having said what he says in verses 13, 14 and 15, he says in verse 16, therefore we do not lose heart, but though our outer man is decaying. Underline that word, is decaying. The worms are going to eat them up. Or cancer before the worms in the grave. Or some other disease. I hope none of you think you are getting younger and younger. There is no tonic, elixir, secret medicine to make you younger. Though the outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. What's the inner man? The godliness inside. Your real new nature. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, that inner man. While the outer flesh is decaying, the inner man is being renewed day by day. Then verse 17, for momentary light affliction. What is affliction? Affliction is very, very severe troubles. It's producing for us, I hope you realize, however strong, however terrible, however lengthy in days and months and years your troubles are, however severe and long your troubles are, what does the Bible say? Verse 17, momentary. Compared to what? Eternity. You know, you get so focused on your trouble and you think, how long, Lord? How long, Lord? How long, Lord? And he says, look at eternity. Infinity. Compared to infinity, this is momentary. All right, afflictions, terrible, terrible pain is producing, is it producing for us an eternal weight? How eternal is eternal? It's infinity. What's the weight of infinity? What's the weight of infinity? Have you ever paused to think? See, meditate on the word of God. Don't just read it. There is an eternal weight being produced of what? Of glory, far beyond all comparison. What will you compare? The eternal weight of glory. What will you compare it with? Wow, what a sunshine. Wow, what a terrific ice cream. Wow, what a wonderful Easter lunch. What will you compare the eternal weight of glory? What a gorgeous sari. What a wonderful whatever. An eternal weight of glory far beyond compare. Verse 18. While we look not at the things which are seen. What do you keep looking at? That car you have. That job you have. That spouse you have. That child you have. That future you have, the ladder you will climb, one day you will become the CEO, whatever you're looking forward to, the things which are seen. Love not the world, the things that are seen. While we look not at the things which are seen, are you with me in verse 18 of chapter 4? While we look not on the things, at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Do you have eyes? Oh, not normal eyes. You've got to have biblical eyes. You should have read enough Bible to be able to have that biblical eyesight that can see what is not seen. And your friends and unbelieving family members will also say, well, how come I can't understand what you... How come you're at a different level? Of course, because they see what is seen and you see what is unseen, the eternal. Similar to Colossians chapter 3, right? Set your mind on things above, not on things below. Alright, for the things which are seen are temporal. Of this earth, therefore temporary, But the things which are not seen are eternal. Do you really believe that? So what are you looking at every day? What are you expecting to look at when you wake up in the morning? What are you living for? The invisible or the visible? Dhaupal kashasadi karata hai, for the Marathi here. So much tension, so much pressure, so much that upsets your schedule and your plans and your whole life, causes an instability. From that, chapter 5 emerges. For we know, and I hope you underline that as well. Where do you know? Not in your emotions, not mystically, but intelligently, sensibly, logically, intellectually, not just academically. It's not academics, but it is real. My mind has really grappled with it, engaged with it, and I know these things are true. What is true? The invisible is more real than the visible for the Christian, and much more. Now he speaks about your human body, our earthly tent. Look at verse 1 of chapter 5. And we're looking at verses 1 to 5 of chapter 5. But don't forget what he said in verse 17. The momentary light affliction is producing what? Beyond all comparison, an eternal weight of glory. Beyond the grave, beyond this life. Now, if you don't have afflictions because you've got lots of money to pay for getting rid of afflictions, you still are living in the visible, in the useless, in the temporal, in the unstable. It's beyond all comparison. It's an eternal weight of glory. So what is your life on earth? It's not to be compared with what is waiting for the Christian. Why? Because Jesus died and rose again. There's something waiting for you. And it's not 6x3 or whatever that piece of plot in which your body will be dumped. If that's what you're looking for and living for, woe unto you. If you live for this world, hear the words again. Verse 18 of chapter 4. Look at it. The things that are seen are transient, are passing away, are like a vapor compared to eternity. You accumulate the things of this world. What have you accumulated? Can you make a list? Do that in your mind right now. And if that very special thing breaks or is stolen, you lose peace of mind for days, maybe years. No? Oh no, you know, all that gold gone, that fridge which I really loved, you know, it really worked wonders for us, broke down. I had to move house. What do you accumulate? The things of this world. What do you get great satisfaction in? They're all going to collapse. They're all going to perish. It's all dust. Rust. Thieves break in to steal. Turn your focus back on what is permanent. Only the eternal is permanent. The things that are unseen are eternal. Are you hearing? The unseen is the real. In Hebrews it says, all those of faith, you know what they were motivated by? They were looking for that home whose maker and builder was God. They were living for the invisible. Nobody will understand this. I mean, why are you trying to explain it to everybody? The most important thing is, have you understood it? And do you relish those truths? So much so that it inspires the way you live. That's the abundance life. Abundance of life. Those weighed down with despair. Are you weighed down with despair? If you really know that Jesus rose again, the risen Lord beckons you to hope, to that which is unseen, that which is eternal. He waits to take you to his eternal home, which he has prepared for you. And if I have prepared a place for you, I will come back and receive you unto myself, that where I am, you may be also, right? Are these realities? You know what he'll do? You carry loads and loads of despair and darkness and hope and pain and tears. He will wipe away all the tears from your eyes. With outstretched arm, he beckons you to focus on that eternal hope. And again you will find Paul saying, I long for that. We are always of good courage. It gives me great strength and energy to live today because of that, not pie in the sky when we die by and by. Sorry, Bishop Pike. And sorry, those of you who've never heard of Bishop Pike. He was a bishop, but he didn't believe. And he started preaching that all this hope is pie in the sky when you die by and by. So goodbye to faith. So what is verse 1 saying? We know, we know, we know. And what does he say about this body? He says our bodies on earth are tents. Tents. We live in human bodies that collapse like tents. Not only they collapse, they can rot. Even made of the best canvas or whatever else they make tents of, they waste away. Those tents, our bodies like those tents, will die. If you go back to chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, our outer self is what? Wasting away. Oh, that's a nice, sweet word, wasting away. Just let's make it a little more crude. Our outer self is rotting away. And what rots stinks, right? And you know what about that unseen? The future, hope. Look at it. We have a building from God. Tent. For this body that you are carrying around. Any shape and size and color, whatever God gave you. Is nothing compared to a building. You know why the Spirit of God gives these words to the Apostle Paul? To show you that tent is collapsible, wastes, rots, dies. Building, permanent. These are not just, you know, words being dropped thoughtlessly at random. Inspired by God, every word in the Bible. We will receive brand new physical bodies. Our resurrected bodies are not repaired old bodies. I hope you know that. You won't have this exactly same body. It won't be rebuilt tents in heaven. Refurbished, remodeled. No, no. Sometimes we think, no, will I have the same kind of nose? Will you be able to recognize me? Will I recognize my loved ones? Will their family circle be unbroken? All those kind of ideas. Now, leave those ideas aside and understand this. Whether you would recognize your loved ones or not, you will have not a repaired, rebuilt, refurbished body, but a brand new, remade, newly made body. Look at that verse. A building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Eternal, a house not made with hands. Unlike the tent that rots away, the building or house is forever, never dies. Our earthly tents go to the grave to be destroyed. Verse 1 is torn down. Do you see that verse? It's torn down, destroyed, is what some translations in the English use. Destroyed means they perish. They perish means what? Total end to this human body. What happens to that body when you put it in the grave? I hope you have never been at an exhumation. There's only rotten stuff left there, if at all any stuff is left there, and bones. So you worry about, well, what will happen if I die in the fire, if it is all burnt up, or in the sea, or how will my body rise again, according to the book of Thessalonians? See, you complicate matters by thinking with human brains and rationality. The very substance of our resurrection bodies will be of imperishable matter. Hold on to this, imperishable. Bones, cartilage, veins, arteries, organs, skin, cells, and then I forgot my science. Or biology, or physiology. And the rest, so that's what I read. And the rest of all the substances that make up our human bodies will become totally imperishable and eternal in that resurrected body. God gives us this new and glorious body. Are you with me in verse 1? Not made with hands, we have a building from God. So then turn, keep your finger here in chapter 5, but turn to chapter 15 of the previous book, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's read what it says about this very thing. And please understand, the Bible is very consistent. Chapter 15. I was thinking Robin Gokhale quite a bit while preparing this. Okay, Robin? We worked on this a little bit while you were writing your book on Beyond the Sunset. Verse 35 onwards. But someone will say, how are the dead raised? That's what you were saying as I was preaching, right? Where did Chris get all these ideas from? It's there in the Bible. How are the dead raised? What kind of body do they come? What kind of body? You fool. I'm sorry, I didn't say it. You fool. It's that someone who asks. The Spirit says, you fool, that which you sow does not come to life unless it dies. And that which you sow, you do not sow the body which is to be. Are you getting it? You sow for death to happen, and when that death happens, the same thing doesn't grow up again. Are you seeing the text? But a bare grain, perhaps of wheat or of something else, but God gives it a body. Underline that. But God gives it a body just as he wished, and to each of the seeds a body of its own. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one flesh of men, and another flesh of beasts, and another flesh of birds, and another of fish. There are also heavenly bodies and earthly bodies, but the glory, this is important, the glory of the heavenly is one, and the glory of the earthly is another. The glory of the heavenly and the glory of the earthly is very different. Are you getting it? Right. Then, there is one glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For star differs from star in glory. Okay, you got that? There's all, everything is beautiful, but there is a glory that is a heavenly glory. Now, God does the thing as he wishes. Verse 42, so also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown a perishable body. You got it? Like that seed. And it dies. Worms eat it up. It is raised an imperishable body. Nothing can hurt it, bleed it, kill it, decay it. It's imperishable. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. Natural body. It is no longer a natural body. It is a spiritual body. I mean, just imagine the molecules, the cells, the atoms, the whatever else makes up a human body. Don't think that when Jesus comes and the dead in Christ will rise, all the little worm-eaten, disappeared molecules of your old body will suddenly resurrect and get. God doesn't need that procedure to make you a new body. Maybe exactly as it is now, I don't know. I don't know, because it won't age. So will I be fat? Will I have a paunch? Will I have a fit body? Hey, I'm going to have an absolutely perfect body. And he says, don't worry about it. I mean, you don't worry about the scars and the limbs that are broken. Where are we? 1 Corinthians chapter 15. It is sown, verse 44, it is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. If there is a natural body, there is also a spiritual body. So also it is written, the first man Adam became a living soul. The last man Adam became a life-giving spirit. Who's the last Adam? Yeah, it's not you. Because some of you are Eve. However, the spiritual came is not first. The spiritual is not first. You were not spiritual first. You were what? And you are natural first, and the natural is sinful. But the sinful is decaying. Then the spiritual comes. First spiritual aspect is you get born again. And you have a new nature in the old body. And we're talking about not the new nature, but the old body. Verse 47, the first man is from the earth, earthy. The second man is from heaven. Who's the second man? Jesus, not you. As the earthy is, so also those who are earthy. And as it is the heavenly, as Adam was earthy, so we are earthy. And as Christ is the heavenly, so are those who are heavenly. That's us who trust in Him. Just as we have borne or carried the image of the earthy, and this is not the image of God, but the image of the earthy, we will also bear the image of the heavenly. This is not talking about the image of God. This is talking about the image, the likeness, the substance, the essence of the spiritual, the heavenly, like Jesus' body. Isn't that amazing? Turn to chapter 8 of Romans. You've got to see these things. Because it's exciting when we think Jesus rose from the dead. We don't just look at the empty cross and say He rose again. The empty grave, He rose again. Hallelujah, what a Savior. It's beyond that. There is hope for us. And that hope must transform our focus. To live with that hope. Chapter 8 of Romans, verses 18 to 27. What does the Apostle Paul say there? For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Remember, chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, the eternal weight of glory, the momentary affliction. Same thing in verse 18 of Romans chapter 8. Verse 19 of Romans chapter 8. For the anxious longing. Please underline that. Stay focused on that. The anxious. You know what anxiety does? Anxiety. Oh, stressed out with anxiety. There is an anxious longing of the creation. The whole creation has turned topsy-turvy. With anxiety. For what? Was subjected to futility. What is futility? Vanity. Uselessness. This whole creation has got disturbed by what? Don't give answers very fast. Think. Because the text is telling us something. Not willingly. Are you with me in verse 20? But because of Him who subjected it in hope. See, there is a hope. There's a longing. Please understand, this is an anxious longing. The whole creation has got topsy-turvy with longing. For what? In hope. That God subjected it to. That the creation, verse 21, itself also will be set free from its slavery to corruption into the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Are you seeing this? There's going to be the glory of the children of God. And when that happens, when the children of God are glorified, the creation will be set free. Look at the text. And think with your minds. And meditate long on this. The whole creation with all the mess of earthquakes and famines and no production and barrenness in the land and floods and whatever else happens. The whole earth, climate change doesn't explain anything. This is the explanation. You better be biblical. And when the children of God are glorified, who are the children of God? Any children of God here? Look happy. That the creation is subjected by God in hope to turmoil till you are glorified. That's what it says. And that's what the creation is longing for. And in turmoil for. The longing is tumultuous. And then it says in verse 22 of Romans chapter 8, for we know that the whole creation groans The longing is not just very silent. It's tumultuous, it's groaning, and suffers the pains of childbirth. One of our ladies is in hospital waiting for the birth of a child. Hopefully Wednesday. There's going to be birth pangs for creation together until now. Not only this, not only creation. Look at verse 23 of Romans chapter. But also we ourselves. Who are the we ourselves? Having the first fruits of the Spirit. Have you been born again of the Spirit? Does the Spirit live in you? Then you also have the same tumult, terrifying disturbance, anxiety and longing in your soul. For what? For what? Look at it. Verse 23. Waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons. When is it going to complete? When is it going to complete? When you see Jesus face to face and have that glorious new resurrection body. See, that's what it says. The redemption of our, not soul, not spirit, but body. Are you looking at the text? Our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. For in hope we have been saved. What have we been saved in? Verse 24, in hope. Hope is future tense. Hope that is seen. Hope is unseen. We talked a lot about the invisible. Hope that is seen is not hope. But who hopes? For who hopes for what is already seen? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we will eagerly wait for it. Are you getting it? Consistent scripture, right? Go back to our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And we'll come to this longing. But that freedom of the glory of the children of God, the sons of God being liberated, the redemption of your bodies, are you eagerly longing for it? It's called the glorious hope of the second coming. In 2 John chapter 3 and verse 2, 2 John chapter 3 and verse 2, it says, beloved, we are children of God. If you are born again, those who have received Jesus, John chapter 1 verse 12 and 13, you have the authority to be called children of God, who are born not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. You are children of God. Beloved, we are children of God. 2 John chapter 3 verse 2. And what we will be has not yet appeared. It doesn't say has not been understood. Has not yet appeared. I hope you have understood. Take time to understand what is going to happen. But we know, see, again, we know, same as 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1, we know that when he appears, what will happen? We will be like him. Why? Because we will see him as he is. That is the redemption of our bodies. We will not be like him in our souls. We will not be deity, but we will be like him in our resurrected bodies. Scripture is consistent. Our passage 2 speaks of believers longing for this glorious hope of living the perfect life in a perfectly sinless body, to please God perfectly. Verse 2, 3 and 4, what does it say? For in this tent we groan. Romans chapter 8, the creation groans, we ourselves groan. we groan. Groan for what? Our mortality is a reality. Mortality is intrinsic to being mortal. Mortal means being human. Includes the idea of being temporary, earthly, with a capacity to die and come to an end. And what is verse 2 saying? It makes us long for something different, radically different. I don't want to be dead. I don't want to die. I don't want this body to wrinkle. And teeth gone. And eyesight gone. And then I limp around. And I need a walking stick. I don't want that. Do you want it? I hope you see the reality of God's wisdom. So we long for a perfect body. So what do? Spas, body lotions, body care, facials, right? I mean, someone is making a lot of money in fulfilling that longing for an eternal body, right? Are symptoms of this longing for an elusive elixir of eternal youth. The crazy, illogical unwillingness to face up to growing older with every birthday celebration is another symptom. We don't want to say, I'm 71 years old. I'm 71 years young now. It's not how old you are, it's how you feel. So we make believe. Whatever you may do and however you may think, your stubborn attitude to evade old age and death will not stop that wrinkle, that aging, and that dying. Our longing and groaning for the eternal must shift from good looks and the here and now to the spiritual, the eternal, the godly. Are you getting it? The passage uses the words, look at it, verses 2, 3, and 4. Being burdened. Unclothed, naked, further clothed, swallowed up by life. Do you see those words and phrases in verses 2 to 4 of 2 Corinthians chapter 5? Christians don't think only of putting on a covering over a dying body and hope that somehow a better covering will lead to eternal youth. So you get the smartest dress. I looked at my shirt this morning and a classic fit. I was wondering, what is so classic about this fit? We make up all kinds of statements to feel good about this dying body and we cover it up. But this is not what this text is telling us. The burden believers must carry is to be swallowed up in life. Look at it. We groan, longing to be clothed, not to be found naked, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Swallowed up by life. The new clothing must be being swallowed up by life. Which life? The life of God, the spiritual life, the godly life. And it must start here and now in your earthly tent. Don't worry about beautifying your dying body. Be anxious about beautifying your inner life, getting ready for eternity. The resurrection life, God gives His own life which never perishes. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. When? You have your redemption, the redemption of your body. God is immortal. We too will be immortal. But there are two major differences at least. We are not essentially eternal beings. God never started, had no beginning. We had a beginning, right? That's one essential difference in his immortality and what will be our immortality post-resurrection of our bodies. The second one is, he is perfectly, has always been absolutely other. We will not be merged with that holy God. We will have our separate identities. We will never become God. Paul is making a fantastic statement. Look at verse 4. Look at verse 4. When Christians die, they are separated from their bodies, their spirits go to be with the Lord, waiting for the day of resurrection when their spirits will be joined with their new resurrection bodies. So your spirits are unclothed. Are you getting it? Your spirits are naked. What is the fantastic statement the Apostle Paul is making? He says, I long to cut short and not have that waiting period. I want to see Jesus right now so that I will be clothed. My spirit will be clothed in that resurrection body. I long for full redemption. You would rather be in the new body and spirit before the Lord to live perfectly and physically able to please and serve his Lord. Clothed not only in the righteousness of Christ, but in a physical, perfect resurrection body. I'm going to say everything else that has to be said next week. But isn't this fantastic? Do you really know Jesus Christ? Have you started on that spiritual life? Then you can long for that absolutely final spirituality. When your new body meets with your saved spirit and perfectly worships and serves the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven forever and ever. Our Father, we thank you so much that you saved us in hope of resurrection. Not only forgiveness of sins, but in the hope that one day our fleshly, sinful, imperfect, perishable bodies we will get rid of it. We'll be rid of it, and we will have a new body. No longer this earthly tent, but a building, a house, not made with hands. In that home not made by men, prepared by God himself for all eternity. And we would praise you and be motivated to live today for that eternal life. So help us, God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God our Father and the fellowship of God's Spirit rest, abide, and make all these things real to you. And all God's people said, Amen.